Welcome to fucking Candyland, hosted by Rampage and Gemini.
We are so excited that you're listening to us. If you want to elevate the experience and see these interviews on video, you can join either one of our Patreons. They are linked in the description wherever you're listening to this podcast episode, in addition to getting to watch the full-length video interviews. We also both have tons of additional content and support for the spiritual community. So go ahead and check those out. And then if you're ever interested in readings with us or personally connecting with us, we also have our websites and social medias linked in the description as well. Feel free to share this episode with everybody that you know. Get the Lick It Like a Lollipop name spread around, and we hope you love this episode.
Welcome back to another episode of Candyland. Tonight we have a special guest and we're really excited about it. So, Gemini.
Tonight we have Brittany Jones. We have talked before. I had you on Coven of Rejects, but you are running for president. You're a content creator. You are all of the things. So welcome to Lick It Like a Lollipop.
I'm glad to be on. I'm glad you reached out to have me come back to a different podcast too this time.
Right? Yeah, we're so happy to have you. I know that Paige had listened to the interview that we had done together, and then she'd been like, wow, I just really want to like get to know more about her and to hear more about like what she's wanting to do with her voice and her platforms and how you're wanting to be influential to others.
So when you say you're running for president, can you elaborate on that?
I got tired of everything. And when Trump won in 2016, I was like, it's time for us to start standing up and doing something about this because they don't care about any of us. So in 2022, I registered with the FEC, which is the Federal Election Commission, to be a presidential candidate for this election in 2024. And I have it timed perfectly because I turned 35 in August. So it's literally right before the election, and I'm doing it so that I can fight to make it safer for us here.
So is 35 the age that you have to be in order to be able to run?
No, you have to be 35 at the time of taking office. So as long as you're 35 before you take the oath of office, you're fine.
So you mean when Biden won in 2020?
No, in 2016, Trump won.
Okay, you said 2020, it threw me off, because Biden won in 2020. So are you running independently?
Yes, I'm running as part of no party.
I know absolutely nothing about politics. I am feeling like they brainwashed everyone to not know anything about politics for a reason, because our ancestors and people like used to keep up with it and protest, and you know, voting was really important. But I know a lot of people who just don't vote at all ever.
Yeah, it's sad because a lot of people didn't even know that you can run as not a part of a party. There's a lot of people that think you have to be a part of a party to run for office, and you don't. And they're also under the impression that it's a two-party system. But it's not. We have multiple parties in this country. It just so happens that the corporations back two main ones. But if we actively boycott those two parties, then they lose their power and we can get someone else in office and hopefully start educating people. That's a big part of my campaign too, is educating on how things actually are rather than what the media tells people to believe.
You do a lot of things on your platform too, where you'll take concepts or things that people are discussing in mainstream media or on social media, and then you educate and try and like break down the facts in a non-biased way, which is one of the things that I've really appreciated about your platform, because I don't subscribe to either one of the two parties that we get an option for. And it seems like if you say you don't subscribe to the parties, the only way that I ever know how to like describe myself is like socially liberal and politically conservative. And I hate that in order to describe ourselves, we have to be like, oh, let me describe an either or for you.
Right. That's a, I used to be a Democrat, and I actually started off as a Democrat in my campaign, but I truly believe that the, whoever is president should not be a part of any party, because when you're president, you're supposed to represent the people, not party interests. So I decided to go completely independent, because it's just, it would feel wrong to be a part of a party when that's not something that I agree with.
One thing that I don't like about the government agencies is like all of the lobbyists, how like they want to buy TikTok from China only so an American lobbyist in their interest can purchase it, make money off of it, and then block the advertisement that isn't for them. And, you know, Facebook or Meta is being sued for messing with the election. This previous election that we had, they actually got found guilty for promoting certain like ad structures and then denying other ad structures. So I always think it's really crazy of like why Bernie Sanders could not win, because he just seemed like he was for the people. Do you have an opinion on Bernie Sanders?
I do. I really wish that he had not dropped out back then, but recently he did accept money from the AIPAC. And that's all in support of Israel. And I don't support Israel. You can see where I think it's Open Secret shows you where all the Congress members got payments, what who's paid them, how much they got paid. But back in the day, I really feel like if he hadn't dropped out, he still would have had a chance. Even because we see it in this election, the parties are fractured. So usually after the primary elections, the Democrats would choose one of their own candidates to back. And the other candidates that are Democrats would drop out. We're not seeing that. We're not seeing that with the Democratic Party. We're not seeing that with the Republican Party or the Green Party. They all have, while the main party is backing one candidate, the other candidates are not dropping out. We have Jill Stein still on the field, Cornel West. They're both Green Party candidates. Then we have... I think Marianne Williamson is still running, or did she drop out?
I don't have an answer to that. What's the Green Party?
It's just another party. They're more focused on the environment than the other ones. Like I just did a debate with the Green Party of Alaska, and they're fractured from the National Green Party because Green Party votes were thrown out so that they could nominate Jill Stein. So there's disenfranchised Green Party voters just so the Green Party could nominate Jill Stein. So there's a fracture there. And in Alaska, there's going to be multiple Green Party candidates on the ballot because of this fracture.
There is so much that like, so I've been listening to, Up and Vanished is the name of the podcast, but they've done, this is their second season discussing missing or murdered Indigenous women. And that's such a huge prevalent problem that they have in Alaska. And I was doing a bunch of research about like, well, what types of funds are being allocated to Alaska to help with this issue? And there really isn't. It's all people trying to do like private fundraising and things like that in order to get like local jurisdiction to be able to have the manpower to take things on. And it's so interesting to me to have that be like a part of our country and to claim them as a part of us. And then for us to not allocate any of our like American dollars into helping, but we're have no problem spending all of this money to go across seas and help other people with what they have going on instead of genocides that we have going on in our own country that we don't take any like time or look into.
Then the MMIW crisis is more than just in Alaska. It's all over the United States. We have one of our own going missing every 30 seconds. At the beginning of last year, it was every 60 seconds. So the rate of going missing or being murdered has doubled in less than a year. And that's nationwide. And it is part of the genocide that you just brought up. It's a land grab. The less natives there are, the more of the land that the American government can take. So that's where the blood quantum comes from. That's where, you know, the man camps come from, violating treaties. They don't care when a Native person goes missing or gets murdered, because that's an opportunity for them to get more land eventually.
I had learned a lot about like the Native children that are orphans being adopted into the American system and how bad that is, and how they used to allow them to kind of foster or keep these children in the tribe or in the unit. But now the government has like signed this thing where they're taking all of those children and then putting them into the corrupt system we already have. What do you think about that?
I think they said like 46 or 56% of the kids in foster care, I don't have the number off the top of my head, are Indigenous. And it's the Supreme Court upheld ICWA, but people are finding loopholes to be able to take Native children. And this is another form of genocide, because it's taking them from their culture, taking from them from their teachings. The languages are dying. And it's because the children are not growing up within their own communities. We just had a huge battle. Well, not me, but the up in Alaska for Chanel. She was a Alaskan baby from up north. And her grandmother was fighting for her. Tribal grandmother was fighting for custody of her. And twice the tribal courts said, yes, you get custody. And the white woman that had Chanel ignored those court orders and did everything she could to keep Chanel. But Chanel finally got home just recently. She's finally back with her nation. But we're still seeing that there's another woman that's looking into getting Native embryos to use, like the eggs from egg banks, to adopt and raise in white families. So it's getting even more crazy out there towards Native children, and ICWA needs to be upheld.
See, and I find, as being somebody who is involved like on TikTok and has a lot of community conversations that way, I think that it's so unhelpful that there are so many people who are of all different types of cultures, but put other people down that are part of that culture for, oh, well, you're too white to, you know, be a part of this culture, or your skin is too dark, or, well, you only have this percent Native in you, so you can't speak on these types of topics and these things. And so then it makes it so that people are more focused on having debates with each other and being distracted doing that and having like hateful rhetoric, as opposed to amplifying their voices and being supportive and being like, oh, well, you're wanting to speak on this and you're wanting to be helpful with this, and that's the purpose of your video, regardless of the color of your skin or the percentage of your heritage or whatever.
That is a big problem, the lateral violence within communities. And that's from lookership, colorism, all of that stuff that's been implemented. We saw it even back in the slave days when, you know, the lighter skinned Black women were put as house slaves, while the darker skinned or less conveniently attractive ones were put in the field. And the slave owners would literally pit these two groups against each other, because as long as we fight each other, we're not fighting them. And I actually found myself at the center of something like that, because my DNA is not enough. It doesn't matter that I'm active in my culture. It doesn't matter that I'm learning from my family to some of these people. And I was engaging in the beginning, but I stopped. I ended up just blocking anyone who said I wasn't enough, who tried to cause problems, because there's work to do. And that's, I'm choosing not to focus on the drama. I'm choosing to focus on the work, because that's how we move forward. And all I'm doing is wishing the people that are causing the lateral violence healing, because it's these same people who are saying reconnecting Natives, even just one drop, you know, reconnect to your culture, reconnect to your heritage, decolonize, re-indigenize, that turn around and do this to reconnecting Natives. And it is a problem, but it's one that our own community has to kind of fix for itself. And I'm still learning those ways, so it's not really something that I can even fully speak on outside of my own experience, but that would just feed into the drama as well. So I'm choosing to continue moving forward with work. I have legislation for MMIW, two of them actually, one for specifically for murdered, one specifically for missing, and it would allocate funding just as much for any other person that went missing or got murdered, for investigations, for it to be taken seriously, for federal reporting, because we're not even reported in state statistics as much as we should be when we go missing.
Do you feel like with your campaign that that is like some of the main focuses that you have is for protecting those people who don't have a voice?
I do. In the beginning, I wasn't even like solely focused on Indigenous people, but people would come into my comments, mainly whitey people, be like, "All you do is focus on natives. All you do is focus on this." And for a minute, I was defensive, and I was like, "Well, don't you see my videos on transgender people? Don't you see my videos for pagans? Are you just so narrow-minded?" But then I sat back and I was looking at the other candidates, past campaigns, what past leadership has done, and no one has put natives first. So I'm like, you know what? Why not? Why not for once put First Nations first? And I've seen a dip in my engagement because anytime Indigenous issues are centered, we're shadow banned, the algorithm doesn't boost it. Like, it doesn't want that information getting out there. But to me, it's worth the fight. I'm still fighting for everyone, but my main platform issue is Indigenous rights.
And this may be a silly question because I really don't know. Do they vote in our American election?
Yes and no. A lot of natives that I've came across, that I've met, that I've spoken to, they don't trust the American government. They don't participate in the American government. It's not their government. They're supposed to be truly free and sovereign, and yet here they are at the beck and like the reservations, the territories have to ask for approval to improve their infrastructure from the federal government. And so there's a lot of distrust in the system itself. And then we also have the tr problems with the amount of homelessness and poverty and lack of education as well. So a lot of people don't have IDs to be able to go register to vote or addresses. And so it's another problem. And I think trying to get anyone to vote, I think felons of nonviolent crime should be able to get their voting rights back in all states. It shouldn't be so hard to get your ID so you can vote for any community. Homeless community too, because they don't have addresses, they don't have IDs, they don't get ballots, they can't vote. So this is something that affects everyone.
Speaking of IDs, not to go on this thought, but what do you think about them taking the ID regulation from the states and putting that into the federal government? Where now, like I used to be able to go to a certain county and be able to get a new ID, and it was a Kentucky state ID. And then now, once next year, you have to have a centralized real ID. What's your opinion on that? That for me feels a little Holocaust vibes. That's what it makes me think of. Like the federal government controlling all of that and taking it away from the states gives me like utopian dictator energy.
You know, I was like, why do we have to get a real ID if we also have to have a passport to travel outside of our country? The real ID, if we have to get a real ID, that should also be able to act as our passport to get back into the country. Stop making it so difficult for us to travel, because without the real ID, we won't even be able to travel on commercial, on like just regular flights within the United States. What, in May 2025, we have to have it? It costs more money than a regular ID. And it's just more requirements. I personally don't agree with it. I think the ID system we had before shouldn't have been messed with in that way.
I wondered what your opinion was on, and I will not, I do not remember her name. She's an older woman with like gray blonde hair that was inside of our political system. She was being called Pocahontas, and she was going and she was saying that and her growing up, that her one of her parents was Indigenous and the other one wasn't, and so her whole upbringing, there was this like quarrel within her family, and was using that as running politically as one of her like talking points, and how she's a Native woman and people need to listen to what she has to say, and that was her whole platform. And then she went out and she did a DNA test, and it was like 0.01%. And so then after that, I haven't heard anything about her politically at all.
I'm not sure who you're talking. Is it Elizabeth Warren that you're
Yes.
talking about? Yeah, I don't know. You know, I don't really have an opinion on her. Nobody should rely on their Indigenous heritage to run for political office unless it's like I didn't grow up on the reservation. I didn't grow up within my Indigenous like community. I grew up Mexican, But even my Mexican family wasn't like really connected to their indigenous roots. You know, they're Catholic, severely, like, extremely Catholic with baptismos, and we did have quinceañeras and stuff. I didn't have a quinceañera. I'd had the most delicious cake ever, though, and a good party, but my parents couldn't afford for me to have a quinceañera. But, you know, I can't speak on that type of issue because I don't know her. Altogether, I'm like, I don't do blood quantum, but altogether, I'm like around 10 or 11% with my Mexican and Potawatomi and all the other pieces combined for indigenous, because Mexicans are also indigenous to Turtle Island. And so I don't think anyone should rely on their native heritage if they have it to get elected. Mine comes up in discussions because people ask and I answer, but I'm not using my heritage or my identity as my platform. I talk about it to make a personal connection with people, but it's not my platform. And so using that as a platform when you're not actually from those communities, I don't agree with that.
I imagine that, and the reason why that came to my mind is because we were talking about people not even trusting the government and having their voice and even wanting to have that vote and it being difficult for them to get that vote. And I imagine that being a culture of people who people are using as a like token in order to gain favor in some way or alliance in some way, I imagine that that makes you feel even angrier and more alienated. And we were recently traveling to California from Idaho. And so you passed through a couple of different reservations on your drive. And my husband and I were talking about how there are, yes, they have their own like laws and things like that on the reservation and their own like police forces and things like that. But they still do have like US laws that they have to follow and, you know, paying money and just different things that they're controlled by. Yet I've never driven through a reservation and been like, wow, this is such a nice place and their homes look great. And it looks like they have money being poured into them. Like you've got, you know, the ones that we passed through all had a casino on it and a gas station. And you're like, so this is your source of income. It doesn't look like the government takes care of these people, takes care of these places, yet come and vote in these elections, have an opinion on what's going to influence and affect everybody else around you. But then you guys are in your pocket of poverty over here. And that's all that you've got. And even in it's Lovelock, Nevada, they have like a big cannabis industry over there. And it's on the reservation. It's reservation owned cannabis industry. You can tell that there's all this money coming into the dispensaries, yet the homes around it are like dilapidated trailers. People's cars are all older cars. It doesn't feel like people are being seen or actually taken care of.
You can see it. There's mines and refineries being pushed right now across the United States. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the native population is showing up and speaking out against them. And you can see the corporations and even the council members who have been bought out because money is toxic in that way. Not all money is good money. And the lady literally said that, you know, pretty much we did the advisory committee and we're going forward with this anyways. It's going to be done. Completely disregarding any Native voices on these issues. And you're right, it is frustrating when somebody who doesn't have these experiences tokenizes their identity and tries to speak for everyone, because no one Native speaks for all Natives. That's not how it works. There's many different nations. There's 574 federally recognized tribes, over 200 state recognized tribes, and I think even more than that, fighting for recognition. And
so, good start.
I was talking to Randy Rivers. He's Cheyenne and Arapaho, and he gave me he brought up this idea to create a separate but equal form of government for Natives. So it'd be like a new confederacy of all 574 tribes coming together and creating a separate but equal government branch of government to balance out the United States government and actually finally have an equal say and equal power. And I think that's a great idea, and I've actually been researching on how to make that happen.
I think that would be so beautiful. discussing mining. So I know that one mine that is controversial right now is in Winnemucca, Nevada. They're going to be mining, I believe it's lithium, lithium ion or something like that. And that's what's needed for like running your electric cars and things like that. So we're wanting to start mining that more locally inside of the US so that it can go towards those things. But what confuses me is all these people are voting on wanting to, or are all these people are like, oh, well, I want to have, you know, the electric cars and I want to have all of these things, but I don't want you guys to be using local mines. I want you to be like outsourcing it to other countries. And so what does that for you, if you were going to, you know, if you were elected, how do we, what's the balance of giving people those things that are like more environmentally friendly, right? But that are also going to not put people in danger and not outsource things to other countries.
So the vehicle itself may be more environmentally friendly by itself, but the extraction processes are just as damaging as extracting oil. We need to research different extraction processes. We need to research different types of energy sources that are better for the environment. We have more options, but what we see is this monopoly is created by these corporations, and this is all money to them. So they don't, the lithium is money, the refineries are money, the gas is money, getting electric vehicles out there is money. We can't even recycle the batteries for electric vehicles, and they only last 7 to 10 years. So how bad is our landfills gonna be? How bad is our environment gonna be? We're gonna destroy the environment to create these pocket places where the wealthy and the privileged can afford to live while we're stuck out here in an even more dystopian environment trying to survive. You're muted.
The electric vehicle initiative has gone to tank. That's not going to work. There's nothing they can do to make that work. And I have a lot of people in the industry that like have talked about this because I work in the automotive industry. And there's no possible way that's going to work because our infrastructure cannot handle it. Like if more than 5 people in a neighborhood plug their car in at the same time, it will shut down the grid and it will create catastrophic issues in our infrastructure. And what they really need to focus on is the way that like 92% of the bridges and things in America are crumbling, not even just like what had just happened, but let's talk about the focus point of the issues of there are at least 75% of people living currently that will never adopt the electric car initiative. And then the other 25% are privileged enough to have that option, but it's more of a status symbol to them. Like my neighbor got an EV car, but then, you know, for that exchange, there's so much labor and things that have to be changed in your home to like make that work. And so I just think that they create these little monopoly, like monopoly style games where they have all the roles and all the resources, and that is going to tank. I bet in the next 7 years, the 10 years, that is going to be so far down the rabbit hole of not working. Because I talked to a few different electricians and I said, is electrician people the people they're targeting to work on electric cars, or is it automotive people? And they said just to do the Tesla school, the certification, it's like 10 years. It's like 10 years.
Oh, so that's, wow.
People should have already been doing that 10 years ago because now these cars are on the road and there's absolutely no one to fix them. And there's a lot of people who pre-ordered those Cybertrucks that are speaking out like they had them for less than 3 days and they already broke down. It's not going to work. Like, I know they think it's going to work, but it's not going to work. And I always go back to like when Obama was in office and they did that clap cash for clunkers, like thing to get all these old cars off the road. Like they've been planning this for a while, but there are 75% of Americans who will never adopt that initiative. They're just not going to. They're just, you know, there's the early adopters and then the slow adopters and the people set in their ways. And there are 75% of Americans who are set in their ways and are not going to make that happen. And they built like a huge battery plant here in Kentucky and it's already like production's already been shut down. They built this plant. They're not doing anything with it.
There's so many other things we can do for our environment outside of switching to electric vehicles. We can get permeable surfaces back in our cities so the water returns to the water table where it needs to go. We could encourage food forests, which would create natural biodiversity. and stuff within our cities instead of these manicured lawns. We can do green roofs and have more trees within the cities, more green spaces to help the heat island effect. There's so many other easier, more simpler, logical steps that we can take to help the environment rather than destroying the environment to create a fancy car for somebody who has the money to buy it.
Oh my gosh, when you said that, I just imagined like you take office and all of a sudden the US becomes this like fairy kingdom where like everybody's growing vegetables in their front lawn and they have like moss growing on their roofs.
I wouldn't mind that.
So when you like do these debates, is that something that happens on like a, like, how does that work? How, I mean, when you said you had a debate with someone, like, how does that get set up? How do you sign up for that? Like,
how do you? So the Green Party of Alaska actually reached out to me to do a debate. A lot of independent and third party candidates don't get the spotlight. The only reason why RFK has a spotlight the way he does is because one, he's a legacy name. Two, he's wealthy. And three, he started as a Democrat, got attention, and then switched. Other than that, independent third parties are really, really hard to get on the stage, especially when they're poverty level candidates. And so the Green Party of Alaska reached out in an initiative to help third party voices get a voice. So we've had three debates with them. It was live streamed through their YouTube channel. And I've been invited out to Alaska at the end of June for an event that they're hosting. And they're working on getting an in-person debate with RFK Jr., Jill Stein, Cornel West, myself, and a couple other candidates in person live in Houston, Alaska. So I'm crossing my fingers that can happen. And I'm really hoping that I get enough notoriety to debate Trump and Biden on the main debate stage closer to the election time.
What's your opinion on Joe Biden and his age and his health?
I think I'm for age and term limits. I think once you hit 65, you should no longer be holding office, especially with how fast technology is changing, how fast our lifestyles are changing, what's expected, everything is changing. Our culture is changing so fast that once you're 65, you're already outdated with everything that's going on. I feel like I'm falling behind at almost 35 with some of these things that are coming out. I'm like, wait, how did you just do that? And so I don't agree with how old they are being in office, and congressmen too. There's so many older Congress people, and Biden in general, he violates treaties. And I know there's a lot of people that are like, vote blue no matter who for our civil rights. They're turning the blind eye to the fact that we're losing our rights under Biden right now as he is president. So how is that going to change if he's elected again? It's not.
I actually get really bothered by things like that. The past election that we had in, what was it, 2020, there was a whole lot of vote blue no matter what, and people really pushing that. And to me, I don't like being told how I'm supposed to think, feel, react to things, what the, it's, anytime that there's something really big that's happening, if you're not doing what the mass majority of people are doing and you're not agreeing with what the mass majority of people are doing, then you're an awful person and there's hateful rhetoric spread to you. It happens with voting. You have to vote a certain color. You have to believe this certain thing. You can't think for yourself. You have to do whatever the mass majority of people are, because that's what's right for humans. But that was a huge thing during COVID too. Like, oh, you're not wearing your mask while you're walking down the street with, you know, space around you and nobody there. You're a murderer. Oh, you're not, you know, doing the vaccinations, whatever. You're a murderer. And then now it's 4 years later and I don't see a single fucking person saying anything about you wearing a mask, not wearing one. Did you have the injection? Did you not? Because that's something that is like past and behind us.
Yeah, we kind of go to extremes in this country. I mean, the media is also to blame for that, because the media will push this rhetoric, this story out again and again and again and again. And the people who don't think critically will take what the media gives them on both sides, red or blue. They will literally take what the media gives them and run with it. They won't fact check. They'll read one news article and think they're an expert. And it takes work. You have to fact check. You have to check the sources. Look at other countries' research on the same topic. It's going to be different 9 times out of 10. The same corporations that back Democrats and Republicans are the same corporations that own the news stations locally and nationally. And they are feeding a very specific rhetoric to the people to keep us under control. And a lot of us are waking up to that. And I actually tell people now too, as more of us are waking up and saying, I don't want to vote for this. And then there's people who are saying, I don't want to vote for this, but there's no but. If you say you don't want to vote for this because you're aware of what they're doing, but there's a but in there and you do it anyways, you are complicit. You are a hypocrite. And a lot of people don't like hearing that, but it's time that somebody finally stands up and says it. Because if you want change, you have to actually take steps to make that change happen. Otherwise, I don't want to hear you complain to me because you helped it stay the way it is.
I think that's another thing that they do to keep everyone like depressed and sad and sick and addicted to things, because we don't got no time to go out and try to make a change if your life is crumbling on the from the inside out. And that's where I think that, you know, since like the war on drugs in the 70s, now drugs are like huge. Whereas before, there were very limited communities that were exposed to certain things. Whereas now, you know, it's your white collar, your blue collar, your poor, your rich, everybody's doing drugs or everybody's doing certain things. And I think that they keep everybody in these loops of like negativity and depression and anger, because then that just manifests in other areas. And then they can be like, well, this is for your own good because XYZ. And I think that really the government is just controlled by investment groups, by monopoly style people. You know, I have a 401k and they just automatically pick what I've invested in. And I got this printout and it said I was invested in BlackRock. I called the fucking people. I sat down with them. I was like, hell no. I was like, I know what BlackRock does. They are the shadiest corporation. They own everything. They do everything. And the fact that like, they just pick that as an investment group for me, it pissed me all the way off. I mean, even if it was only like $10,000 invested, it doesn't matter. I was like, I'm not investing anything in BlackRock, because I was very invested in those train derailments that were happening across America, because one happened in Ohio, like really close to where I live. And I was really concerned about all of those chemicals being dumped into the water. And I went into like a fear-based type of thinking that I had to like snap out of it, because no one was ever going to admit fault on that, even though people in the workers union for the railroad system was on strike for like a year. And that's why they're having all these derailments, is because they don't have the inspectors and the people that actually need to be there. So I feel like altogether our government is just like full of lobbyists, and there really isn't anyone who has any real common sense left in the government. Like Joe Biden needs to go. His vice president is worse. So I would hate for him to die and her take over. Like, that's what I have to think about. Cause like, I think that Camilla lady is evil. I can just see her aura. It is evil as hell. I don't like it. And I'm a woman. I'm like a woman supporting women, but I cannot stand a lot of women in politics, because I feel like they're trying to be more manipulative than the men and like more conniving than the men. And it's just like, there's so much back and forth. So if there was like one thing that you really get triggered by, what would that be for in the government or in general?
I would say the government acting like they have our best interests at heart, and then saying all these promises, not doing those promises, because they actually don't have, like, the president doesn't have the power to do half the things. A lot of these candidates, oh, I'll give you a living wage, I'll give you free healthcare, free college. The president does not have the power to do that unilaterally, so you can't make those promises. And then we see Biden, he's sitting here, you know, when the workers were striking for the railroad, he stepped in and gave them one paid day of sick leave. And now, like, he got a lot of backlash for that. But now the Secretary of Transportation is stepping up and they're trying to make all these regulations for trains again, because it's an election year. That's the only time they do anything, is during an election year. And then after that, the corporation's puppet for the rest of their terms. And people fall for it every single time.
Well, that's just kind of like crazy ass Mitch McConnell here in Kentucky. Like, you talk to the older people, like my grandparents, and they have voted for this man a fucking 100 times. And then now finally my grandma's starting to wake up to like, he's not competent or capable of representing our state. And finally he's going to like step down. And it's like, you blacked out on TV multiple times. What do you mean you're stepping down? You should be forced to step down. There should not even been an option. It should have been like, you're out, period. And it just continued. It's just literally continued. And I honestly think that my opinion on the government is not one person who grew up during segregation should be allowed to be in any office of any sort. I don't care if you're on the dean of acceptance for a fucking college. I do not care. If you grew up or were raised during segregation, period, you're not allowed to be in there. Like, that's what I would eliminate. If like I had my wish, eliminate all of those people. And I think a lot of biased would not eliminate them, like you know, not that way. Take away their power, take away their control, because a lot of that is where the racism and the colorism and the sexism and all of those things still live forward and are passed down. You know, like right now, it's like we really need a switch where there are not ancient people who don't know how to use a computer running this country.
I agree. Unfortunately, Congress is the one who sets that legislation. So people, don't just be focused on the presidential election. I know that's huge. There's a lot of congressional seats open that people are running for right now. Like, go research who's running for the seat for your county, your district, for Congress, and vote for the one that wants term limits, age limits, living wage, free health care. Vote for the ones that actually wants to take care of the people. Stop voting for the ones that just have their names on the ballot because they have the money. Even for Congress, any position, there's a little line you can write in a name. So research the people who are running and vote outside of the two-party system. Vote outside of the old people. Vote with intelligence and education rather than just, oh, I didn't have time to research, I'm just going to fill in a bubble on the ballot.
Well, and outside of like just the political, or not political, the presidential elections, like there are things that happen, you know, in individual states that people don't know, don't understand. Like, I know that a big one for us was because I was born and raised in California. And so I pay attention to the politics that are there because we left because we no longer could handle the changing in politics and the way things are being done inside of California. And we didn't want to live with those rules and guidelines anymore. So paying attention to, you know, the deterioration of different cities like San Francisco and whatnot. And I find it personally frustrating that Gavin Newsom is continually, you know, voted in to be in office, but he does nothing to clean up the cities, make things better for anybody. He doesn't do anything until there is something that's going to be televised. Somebody's going to be coming in and visiting. And then all of a sudden, he's putting all of this time and effort into cleaning up these cities in the areas where somebody's going to visit. And it's like, to me, it's the same as when Biden goes down and he goes and like, oh, well, I'm going to go and visit the border or whatever. And then all that they're showing is this one little section of the border and talking to this one, you know, group of people or whatever. And, oh, well, look, it's a family that, you know, is behind Biden while he's here right now. But there's so many other parts of the border, like Texas and things like that, where they're like, we're going to build our own wall. We're going to do our own things. We're going to protect things ourselves, because we're not getting any help down here. And you don't see, you know, that being massively televised and him going and traveling down there and figuring out something in person live right there. And it's so frustrating seeing things that like you see as a problem as a person in this country. And then when the person who, or people who are in a leadership role to make a change are only doing things that make themselves look better as opposed to actually trying to help the people. And it, to me, that's the kind of stuff that perpetuates like misinformation about border security and things like that is that we're only showing one thing and having one part of a conversation. And if you have any kind of conversation about the border and wanting there to be any kind of security, then you're racist. You just don't want people to be able to come in and live the American dream. You just want it to, you know, be this like secluded space instead of it being about security.
I do believe that we need to have, oops. Hold on. Send a voicemail. Sorry, Randy, just, am I, can you guys hear me?
Yeah.
Did I, okay. Brandy could just called me, but I told him I had a podcast interview. Don't call me right now. You believe in border security. We are a nation now, whether we like it or not. You know, the United States does have borders. We do have things that we need to do, but immigrants also come through airlines and seaports. What we need to stop doing is dehumanizing the immigrants that are coming over, because the last time we worked with, I'll use Mexico for an example, because the Texas border is terrible right now. There's violations of human rights going on because of the lack of oversight, because of the lack of working together. And this one side is getting to control the narrative of what's going on down there, and they're dehumanizing these immigrants that are just trying to get to a safer place. And what we can do is working with Mexico, streamline the immigration process, making, you know, the visa process easier, because my wife, it's been 3 years and we still don't have a visa. And so, well, 3 years since she's been in China. We've been married since 2019. So it's been even longer, and she doesn't have a visa yet. Like, she has a temporary visa, but not like the permanent to be able to stay here. And we're seeing this issue where the process takes forever. So we need to streamline the process for asylum seekers, refugees, work visa, travel visas, anything like that. We need to streamline the process. And we need to work with Mexico and any other country to help them economically. Like, hey, invest in your businesses, invest in your infrastructure, invest in your law enforcement. Invest in your law enforcement, because when the economy and infrastructure improves, the last time we did this with Mexico, the strain on the immigration system lessened significantly, because people don't want to leave their homes. They don't want to leave their families. They don't want to leave their cultures. But America has caused so much chaos globally with selling military weapons. We are the reason why the drug cartels are so bad. We are the reason why, like, the drug trade on this country is so bad, because we let military groups buy weapons from us, whether they're part of their government, standalone military groups, it doesn't matter. And that adds to the chaos and conflict, and then people can't stay in their homes. So we need to move away from that as well.
What do you think about there being the rhetoric that everybody who's trying to cross our border is from Mexico, though, as opposed to there are people coming in from all different countries for various reasons? There are so many people who are seeking asylum here for legitimate reasons, but also not everybody that's coming into our country is because they have some, you know, dream to come in here and add into our country and add in to make things better. There are people who come over here for terrorist reasons, and that there is a legitimate issue with safety. How do we filter people out and be able to have this filtration system to let people in who are actually going to benefit and have something set up so that they are putting their finance and whatever and paying taxes into our system and doing all that, and not just recouping benefits? Because I think that's a huge reason that so many people have an issue with immigration, is just because they see people getting these benefits. Like, I know that here where I live in Idaho, we have a lot of refugees who are here from various different countries, and they're driving new cars, and they're, you know, buying the most groceries at the store and stuff like that. And so here in Idaho, there are a lot of people who are like, fuck immigrants and fuck refugees and stuff like that, because we're having to take care of that. We're having to fund that. Meanwhile, you also want to be like, Well, these are people who left someplace that wasn't safe for them, and they have families and whatever, and they're needing to be taken care of. So how do we take care of people and actually have people giving back into our system so that we can get rid of this like negative narration of refugees and immigrants, and also help them to have a better experience in America? Because I can only imagine how it feels to legitimately flee somewhere that is unsafe, come into a country and have people be like, well, fuck you, because there are people who take advantage.
So I want to say, first off, you can't tell who is a refugee or an immigrant or anything by looking at them. So people who see somebody driving a car and be like, why are they driving such a nice car? They're Mexican, or they're this, you know, the automatic assumption that they're an immigrant on assistance or a refugee on assistance, that needs to be worked on. That's the knee-jerk reaction. It's rooted in racism. Yeah. You cannot look at someone and tell if they are an immigrant or not. And then also from my own experience growing up in a Mexican family, even illegal immigrants pay taxes, and illegal immigrants can't get help through Social Security, food stamps, and stuff like that, unless they break the law in some way and get a fake Social Security card. But many of them don't. The reason why in my family anybody got help or really got a leg up is because the family that was already here and established helped them. We have family units that support each other. That you know, you need transportation to get to work, bet. You need a place to stay, bet. We got you. We look out for each other, and we pay taxes. You know, the illegal immigrants pay taxes as well, and they don't get anything back from that. And there's actually studies out there that show that immigrants, illegal or otherwise, actually help our economy. And so we need to start educating people rather than spreading misinformation about, that's the dehumanizing part about immigrants. We also need to recognize that if you're not indigenous, you're an immigrant. And when you first came over here, your ancestors were an illegal immigrant. Treaties are violated every day. So we need to shift the perspective. It's not about what they have and what I don't have. It's about how we can work together to make sure all of us have that.
I feel really bad for a lot of the children trying to come over here and build a new life, because in like the beginning of migration, we were considered like the melting pot where people were welcomed and invited and accepted in some form or fashion. But you know, our country has been built on immigration. The Industrial Revolution was fueled by immigration. So I personally just want everyone to pay taxes. That's all I care about. I don't care what benefits they get, just pay taxes. Even though the government is very manipulative with what they do with the taxes, I just think that there should be a level playing field. If you're encouraging immigration to come over here so they can start a business or expand in some way, that's fine if you're giving them benefits, but I just want everyone to pay taxes. Like, that's my biggest issue in America, is that only certain people, and the billionaires should pay more, but there's only certain like different tax classes that pay the most. And like being a single woman with no children, I pay so much more than other people who have one child or are married. And that is what I personally think needs to be reinvented in our system, because billionaires literally have so much money that they could solve world hunger. They should pay more taxes.
And that's where our anger should be directed, not towards other poor people, but towards the billionaires who have their corporate tax havens overseas, where they don't pay taxes on the assets in those accounts. I actually have legislation that I'm working on the state level to make corporations pay taxes on their tax havens that are in offshore bank accounts. They have to disclose these accounts. They have to disclose the assets that are in those accounts, and they have to pay their fair share taxes on those assets. Of course, the corporations are going to fight back, and people are like, how is this going to be enforced? Well, if we find out that they're lying about what they have, then we can seize all of their assets. You lie, you get your assets seized. You pay your fair share, you can keep operating how you are.
I really loved your answer about education. And I think that that goes on so many different topics outside of educating on immigration and whatnot. But also, so much of our history here in the U.S. has been completely skewed and changed from the actual facts that I think that's what stems so many arguments and division on things too, is that we're taught inaccuracies our whole childhood and indoctrinated into this total belief system that isn't even real, that is so religiously based too. Things have been changed because, oh, well, that was a Christian person over here, so we can't have this Christian man represented this way in our history books. It has to be changed in this way. And, oh, well, they couldn't have pillaged over here because they were doing things in the name of the Lord and whatever. Like, and that's not even, that goes above like a presidential thing. Like, you know, you can't rewrite history books as the president necessarily. But I think that lack of education is something, and ignorance, like ignorance, I think stems so much hate and perpetuates negative rhetoric, and not being educated on things then leads to having responses and mindsets based out of fear and hate. And then you're spreading that down, you know, generations as well.
So there actually is something the president can do about history books, because the Secretary of Education is under the executive branch. And we're the ones that set policies for what is taught in school, what the expectations are, what all that stuff is. So we could actually work together to create a new curriculum that is based on actual factual history told by the people who, because there's people alive today who went through residential schools, the Catholic school system, where they cut their hair and beat them for speaking their language. There's people alive today where it was illegal for them to dance. And we need to correct those history books. And that is one thing that I could do as president, is to teach actual history of the United States. And about the melting pot, why that changed historically is because colored people, people with more melanin, started to outnumber the white people. And so the white people started creating more legislation and making more inequality so that they did not lose their power. It's literally stems from racism.
And a lot of that racism is continuously being taught through these systematic systems of oppression. You know, one thing, and this is kind of off the topic from politics, but we all know who Kid Rock is, and he's portrayed this like white trash persona growing up in a trailer, and his family's fucking rich. He never grew up in a trailer. He never lived in any poverty. He never had any white trash connection except the one that he built for himself. And you can look up his childhood home like on Google, and it's fucking massive. I've never lived in a house that big. So I think a lot of people who are in power will feed you whatever vision gets them what they need. And that's just an example of it. But, you know, the same thing with like a lot in politics, anyone who is a career politician in some way has built their life on scamming and manipulating and hurting other people and taking buyouts or taking vacations. And there's no reason that any politician or billionaire should be able to write off a yacht or any funsy activities. You know, as a business owner, I've been learning a lot about that, about like what can be written off and what can't. And, you know, I'll get advice from other business owners and they're like, oh, I write off everything. And I'm like, I'm not going to fuck with the government like that. Like, I'm going to do the right thing. Even if that means I pay a little more taxes, the universe will take care of me. Like, I do the right thing. But a lot of people do not do the right thing. And that's why they're in some position of power. And I truly believe that like this grand global awakening moment that we're having is going to actively expose all of these people until they are like sifted through the drain and all the loose ends will be revealed. And that's the one thing that kind of keeps me hopeful and excited, is because there are people like yourself who are trying to educate others and help others. Even if it doesn't make sense to other people right now, I think eventually people are going to start catching on.
Like, it's going to click one moment. They're like, oh, that's what she meant. That's what she was talking about. A lot of times we see a lot of presidential candidates, even independent candidates. I have not came across any candidate that has actually been honest about what they can and cannot do. They are all making false promises, selling pipe dreams, every single one of them. And it's absolutely disgusting, in my opinion. So when I speak like this, or when I tell voters that you're being hypocrites, or you're being complicit, or you're doing this, or you're doing that, they're like, that's how you speak to your constituents? We want to know if you can give us a living wage. I'm like, well, I can't. I'm not going to butter things up or sugar things up for you. I'm not going to make things sweet and this pipe dream, because we're not living in some glorious society right now. We are struggling. We are tired. We are done. And it's about time that someone steps up that's willing to speak the truth and say, this is what I can actually do for you if you elect me. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to paint this fake false picture, because I can do these things. And then the rest falls to you.
Which is kind of like with anybody voting for anything, whether it's student body president or, you know, the council of the HOA, everyone lies and has these promises. So I like that you're like being honest about your intentions, because I think that's rare. And I do think that as a society, we're shifting our reality from being very involved with the illusion, and whether people want to see that truth or they don't want to see that truth, it's so loud and clear in their face that you have to see it. Like, you may not want to hear it. You may be clinging to those old ideas for dear life, but eventually, like, it's crumbling. And the one thing that gives me hope is that people are teaching their kids different, and we're starting to have inclusive conversations with our children. And, you know, like, bullying is being addressed across a lot of big celebrity platforms. Like, a lot of people are starting to advocate for the little man, or for the people that don't have a voice. And I think that's what's going to really bring our country together. Like you mentioned earlier, which is exactly what I believe, they keep us all fighting each other, so we don't have any energy to fight them or to fight back to the system. It's like we're just all kind of at the mercy of the system. But, you know, my favorite thing is when people are like, they're controlling us or this and that. Really, we're consenting to it. Like, we go to work, we pay our bills, we play all the rules, we go back home, we get in our little cage, and we sit here and whine and complain about it. Like, they don't have to control us. We're following the rules. We're listening. We're obeying the system. So I just think we need a lot of people to really wake up to their part in that. And that's just like with me, like, looking at my 401k and seeing that I'm invested in BlackRock. And I was like, hell no, I'm not going to do that. A lot of people probably don't even know that they have half of their savings in their 401k invested in that company, which is giving these people the resources to manipulate the collective.
Yep. And, you know, the more people that wake up, the better. A lot of people believe, you know, we're all struggling out here. And if there's one thing that you can do to help change what we, two things, I'm going to say two things. Vote for who you actually want to vote for. Don't listen to the people who are telling you that it's a wasted vote. Don't let them take your power away from you like that. And two, help spread the education. Anytime you get in a debate or talk with somebody, don't waver. Don't back down. Say what you're saying is wrong. Don't be like, we can agree to disagree. No, say what you're saying is wrong. There, it's not a two-party system. There are other options. We do have the power to make change. It can happen. Stop with the cans and the negativity. Just be a voice and vote. And if we all of us who are tired of the bullshit, if we all just stood together, we could literally change the face of our government in one election. And that's take. But we all have to grow some balls and step up and do it.
Amen. Amen. I think that's a beautiful place to kind of leave that message. Gemini, are you going to pull a card for this?
I sure am. I was just about to say it. Let me go grab the deck real quick.
So I just love your passion, and I love that energy of like, just fucking get up and do something about it. And I think we all could adopt a lot of that mindset when it comes to our own happiness. Cause I have so many people that are just always negative about everything. That's, you know, it's a collective struggle that we're all trying to rewire and refocus and recalibrate. And I do think that there will be a lot of change, but we just have to get these term limits in place as soon as possible. And of course they don't want to vote that in, because then that takes away their power. You know, like, of course the old slug Mitch McConnell, like, he don't even want to sit down, but he has a half brain cell left and he's going to have to, like, you know, it's just crazy to me. Like, The world is a crazy place, but I think it's a beautiful place. And I love to be able to connect, you know, with people like yourself. And just in general, having a podcast brings a lot of energies in that you normally wouldn't get to understand or hear about. So for everyone listening, in the description box, we'll have Brittany's social medias and ways that you can connect with her personally.
Absolutely. And then in the human design card today, we got card 57, and it's like these, I don't know what kind of plant this is, but I'm constantly looking for these flowers and I don't know what they are. But it's almost like, you know, when dandelions start to do the puffing, like when you're going to make a wish with them, it's almost like that, but like a tree full of them. And I need to find what this is. So the sign is Libra. The gift is equilibrium and the shadow is white noise. And by the way, this card fell out of the deck 3 different times while I was shuffling. And I was like, oh, my hand slipped and then it fell. So this is what's meant to be. To enter the frequency of the gift means to detach from the intensely masculine, mind-centered modality of our present reality. Unlocking the feminine powers of your intuition expands your aura and creates space for you to delve into your innermost truth. A harmonious balance between both masculine and feminine energies and their respective approaches leads you to an elevated state of awareness. This gift is particularly focused on sound, almost as if you can listen to the sweet melodies of your inner universe and the next steps forward. Your shadow is white noise. You are trapped in shadow when you are unconsciously engaged in the collective frequency of fear. Fear-based actions born purely of the mind will allow this frequency to fester, and a general sense of anguish will play on a loop in the background of your subconscious. You will fret about the future, the innumerous potentials for failure, and the many things that you need to do or never did. Such anxiety acts like static white noise, a barrier between you and your innate yet divine inner guidance system. Your themes are guidance, balance, expansion, and breath.
I feel a little called out by that white noise one.
I love it. Well,
I love that card.
So grateful. You really educated me on things that I did not know. And I'm sure a lot of people listening will feel the same. So thank you so much for your time today, Brittany. And we really are looking forward to kind of keeping up with your journey and, you know, seeing where we can support you. Gemini, is there anything you want to close with?
No, I just want to thank you so much for coming on and for having really open discussions about things and where we can change our mindsets and how people can heal their thought process instead of just, well, that's not how you should think, but actually giving reasons why. And I really loved your response again about educating and why it's important for us to like have different educations on things and changing people's perspectives is something that I think you're going to do, whether you end up winning the election or you don't win the election. I think that you're having a huge influence over the way that people in this country are thinking and educating themselves about things and breaking the indoctrinated cycles of what we are taught and expanding our thought processes. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you for having me on here. Honestly, I couldn't spread that education or anything like that if people didn't give me the opportunity to have a space to talk and listen, because I can't learn as well if I'm not able to hear and listen and have discussions. So I really appreciate you guys having me on here as well and hearing even your perspectives, because it gives me more things that I can think about and learn about and start educating about as well. So thank you.
Yeah.
Well, you all know that you can write Brittany's name in on the ballot this fall, and we will drop all of her socials in the description. Tap in with us, and we'll see you all next time in Candyland. Bye-bye.
Bye.